In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, January 13th, 2017 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Open Doors USA released their 2017 World Watch List, which ranks the top 50 most dangerous countries for Christians to live. The group noted that 2016 was the worst year of persecution on record, with a shocking 215 million Christians experiencing high levels of persecution for their faith. Worse yet, over 90,000 Christians were killed in 2016. That's one death every 6 minutes. The top 10 worst offenders were North Korea, Somalia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sudan, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Yemen, and Eritrea. The World View spoke with Kristen Wright of Open Doors, who explained how they document the problem.
Open Doors examines the degree of freedom that a Christian has to live out their faith in five spheres of life, and that would include family, private life, community, national, and church. Plus, we also add in a sixth category on the degree of violence that Christians face. And so points are given for each incident of persecution that happens.
Not surprisingly, Islamic extremism is a major driver of persecution in 35 of the 50 countries which threaten Christians. Despite how dire things look, Wright has hope.
Open Doors is urging the Trump administration to take this issue very seriously. There is a role of the ambassador at large for international religious freedom within the U.S. State Department. The person who is in this role is effectively leaving on January 20th unless action is taken to allow him to stay past that date. That's a very practical recommendation that Open Doors is urging the Trump administration to take action on. Under the Obama administration, the role of ambassador at large for international religious freedom was actually left vacant for 27 months. We want to make absolutely certain that this administration takes this issue seriously and doesn't allow for the vacancy to last that long. We want to make sure that someone is appointed and that they're appointed within the first 100 days of the new administration.
Wright explained to The Worldview that Open Doors strives to help our brothers and sisters in Christ holistically.
We're not just looking to meet practical needs, although those are very important, but we're also addressing spiritual needs, emotional needs, psychological needs. Trauma counseling has become a huge part of Open Doors' work in countries like Syria and Iraq and in surrounding countries.
Trump's nomination for Defense Secretary, James Mattis, told the Senate committee considering cabinet appointees he has, quote, no plans to oppose women serving in any aspect of our military, unquote. And when asked about homosexuals in the military, he said, quote, I don't care who people go to bed with, unquote. Plus, Mattis spoke out for a stronger military, a stronger NATO, and a stronger military presence in the Baltics as a deterrent to Russia. He said, quote, Moscow raises grave concerns on several fronts, unquote. Congressman Mike Pompeo also attended confirmation hearings for his nomination as CIA director, where he spoke emphatically against torture of prisoners by waterboarding. Pompeo is a pro-life evangelical Christian who says, quote, Jesus Christ is our Savior and the only solution for our world, unquote. The South Carolina church shooter, Dylan Roof, received final admonitions from the victim's families before he was officially sentenced to death. One father of a victim told him, quote, your creator is coming for you, unquote. Rose Simmons, daughter of the pastor killed in the attack, told Roof, quote, I grieve for you because your heart refuses to recognize and yield to this great power of forgiveness. I pray that one day, when you meet Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he will also extend to you his hand, unquote. A number of the victim's family members offered their forgiveness during the sentencing. The message to Roof is the message for all of us. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19. The Transportation Security Administration has confiscated a record number of guns from Americans in 2016, a total of 3,391 guns. That's up 28% from 2015 and five times the confiscations they recorded for the year 2005. At least three missionaries are still being held captive by Islamic terror groups. Jeff Woodke was kidnapped from his home in Niger, Africa back in October. And according to World Magazine, a Swiss missionary, Beatrice Stockley, was kidnapped in Mali a year ago and is still in captivity. The Al-Qaeda group holding the woman released a video recently in which Stockley is seen greeting her family and confirming that she is in good health. Plus, an Australian medical missionary named Ken Elliott is still in captivity, although his wife Jocelyn has been released. The big loser in the November election was the liberal financier, George Soros. The Wall Street Journal reports that Soros lost $1 billion on his bets in the stock market after the election. He spent $7 million on the pro-Hillary Priorities USA action pack over the last 2 years. He's down $1 billion, but his net worth still tops $25 billion, according to Forbes magazine. There's a four-year-old girl in Georgia who has read 1,000 books on her own. Dahlia Marie Arana has been reading since she was two, and she hasn't stopped yet. The Gainesville Times online story includes a video of the little tyke reading a college-level tome. In God's providential mercies, the latest storms over California have relieved drought conditions in at least 40% of the state. State water reservoirs have filled up, according to reports from the Associated Press. Matthew 5:45 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, January 13th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. As we hang on to an orthodoxy, a Christian orthodoxy, during the largest apostasy in the history of the Christian church over the last 200 years, massive, massive droves of people have taken off, have abandoned churches, and, of course, church attendance in America is finally falling off. After about 120 years, 150 years of apostasy, finally people are leaving the church, and church attendance has dropped off from 44% to 36% over the last 5 years. I expect this to drop off to 12 to 14% in just the next 10 or 15 years, which means that we will have huge buildings, lots and lots of facilities open for other uses as the years go by. That appears to be the trend right now, unless the Holy Spirit of God comes down upon this country and we see the melding of the hearts and a falling on our knees before God in conviction of sin and a crying out for the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. And that may happen. There may be something of a reformation, but I don't see it happening right now.
Well, and I don't see why not. I mean, this is the United States, and you know, God is always for the United States, right?
Well, Steve, I mean, look what's happening. Look what's happening to the nation as a whole. You know, we have done some of the most egregious things against the Almighty that any nation has done in the history of the world, and that's just in the last year or two, or 30 to 40 years, it's been a bloodbath when it comes to Christian involvement in culture. All right, so let's take a look at the state of the church, because the state of the church is the state of the nation. And so we come back to the state of the church on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Here's an article, Steve, from a newspaper online. Two pastors have been hired by Calvary Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. And you say,
all right, great. Big deal.
Big deal, right?
Why does that make the news?
Yeah, well, they're women.
Ooh, strike one.
Yeah, they're women. Two women. They're also lesbians.
That's a big strike, too.
Yeah, yep. And they're, quote-unquote, married to each other.
To each other?
Yeah, to each other.
Well, that'd be strike three.
They're out. They're way out.
Yeah.
Way, way out. Friends, you can't create stories like this. You think that this is The Onion. or this is something of the Babylon Bee.
Yeah, yeah.
You think that somehow this is an exaggeration of what's going on. Friends, it's impossible to come up with words to describe how despicable this is and how egregious, how abominable it is in the eyes of a holy God.
Well, this has got to be some low-line, you know, obscure church, correct?
It's a Calvary Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., and they're hiring two of them. The news release said that Maria Swearingen Sally Sarrett's pastoral vision was the clincher. And, quote, we were struck by their deep faith and commitment to being part of a gospel community.
The gospel what?
A gospel community, the good news about how this Jesus, this drug lord, apparently this strange Jesus, is one who doesn't save homosexuals from their sins. He did not come to save them from their sins.
So where are they?
So I don't know who this Jesus is.
Yeah.
But, of course, one of the points I've made to my church over the last several weeks is that America is known for its pseudo-Christ. When I was in Japan, the false gods were not named Jesus or Christ or Lord. But you come back to America and the false gods actually have those names. So you got to remember that the false gods in America are named Jesus and Christ. So keep that in mind. There are many false Christs, pseudo-Christs, and here's yet another one. When Jezebel brings sexual immorality into the church, the Lord addresses it in Revelation chapter 2. I'll cast her into a sick bed. He says, those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds, I'll kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the hearts and minds. And, you know, if he'd say that to the church in Asia Minor in Revelation chapter 3, of course, Jesus is just as involved today as he was back then. It's also interesting, here's one more takeaway, that the word Baptist doesn't always mean Orthodox anymore. Labels don't really mean much anymore. I don't know if they ever did.
Yeah. When I heard Calvary Baptist, I mean, that you would think you'd take that name of the church,
yeah,
Calvary Baptist, and you'd go, wow, this has got to be conservative. Because, of course, you know, the names of the churches should say a lot about what the church is.
Yeah, it should. But, friends, remember these labels, these slots, these narrow issues, they mean almost nothing. How much water to use in a baptism is going to establish something of the orthodoxy of a church, a denomination? You've got to be kidding me. That's the essence of the substance of what you're all about. That's the foundation. That's your ultimate doctrinal foundation. Give me a break. And by the way, the same thing applies to the form of church government. When people chose the form of church government and the amount of water to use in a baptism to establish the ultimate perfection of their orthodoxy, friends, that's the point at which human pride has established itself, and we're no longer knocking the watermelon to really determine whether there's anything substantive there at all. By the way, the Babylon Bee has come up with 7 names for churches. If you're struggling with names for churches to help others feel welcome to your church, well, the Babylon Bee has stepped forward and provided 7 names for your explosive church growth and the many glorious accolades that will come for your unique and authentic raw creativity in developing the name of your church. And here's a couple of them. The Holy Grounds Coffee Shop and Tavern.
Oh, yeah. I like
that. One of the best ways to get people in the door is to make sure no one knows you're actually a church. To that end, some of the most successful church plants in recent years have simply launched under the guise of a coffee shop, bar, or strip club, and then secretly hit patrons with the gospel once it's too late. Okay, so there it is, the Holy Grounds Coffee Shop and Tavern. And of course, you know, how many coffee shops within churches have you seen that?
Yeah.
Holy Grounds. A pun in which the holiness of God is utterly degraded. It's just disgusting. I see it all over the place. Of course, the fear of God is no longer the beginning of knowledge anymore. The fear of God has pretty much abandoned much of American Christianity. And then there's the Journey Life Vision Hope Community Church.
Well,
it's all in one word.
One word.
Journey Life Vision Hope Community Church. You want a really good buzzword at the front of your church's new name, as the apostles taught?
Yes.
As the apostles taught, of course.
Yes.
It's in Acts chapter 36, I think so. Right?
Yeah.
Where they go over the name of the church and how that attracts people.
Yeah.
And the power of the name trumps the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. right? It's Acts 36, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So he says, just combine all the buzzwords into one, and then add the word community in the title for good measure, so no one suspects you're associated with the stodgy Baptists or boring Methodists.
Yeah.
Okay. Then there's the Burning Metal Foundry Church.
Oh, yeah. That's
or just
a man's church.
Burning Metal Foundry. Yeah, that's right. Because yeah. Men won't come to a church unless your name suggests rugged, grizzled, macho manliness. Yeah. A name like Burning Metal Foundry hits all those buttons.
Yeah, and it almost sounds rock-like as well. So.
And be sure that all of the deacons and elders have the big old Louisiana, duck hunting beards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've got to be sure everybody's got that. It's for sure that'll attract somebody.
Yeah.
Then there's the Jiffy Church. We'll have you out of here in 50 minutes or less.
Choosy mothers, choosy.
And then here's another idea for your church. If you're looking for explosive church growth and a new buzzword for your church name, here it is. Any Greek word at all, plus fellowship at the end. So open up the nearest Greek lexicon to a random page, close your eyes, and point. Whatever word you're pointing at, that's the name for your new church.
Yeah, unless somebody knows Greek.
Yeah. Example, Dunamis Fellowship,
all
Kairos
right.
Fellowship. Eros Fellowship.
Eros. Oh, I like that. You know, that's love, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, Eros is more porn, but whatever. Yeah. Okay, then there's Mars Hill Church.
This is
an excellent name. It has no prior baggage or negative associations whatsoever, so
yeah, there you go.
Go with that.
Yeah.
And then the church that's all about you.
All right, well, that's honest.
You could tell your congregation it's not about you, but I mean, who are you kidding? This name is awesome because it cuts right to the chase and lets people know you're not going to call them to selfless sacrifice for the sake of Christ. Well, there you go. That's the Babylon Bee. 7 suggestions for the name of your new church. Be back with more. I'm Carrie Underwood, next on the Generations Broadcast.
For many centuries, liberal arts education in Christian high schools and colleges has had a fatal flaw. The great humanist thinkers have led millions of Christian young people astray through the very doors of Christian liberal arts classrooms. Unless we introduce a critical analysis of worldview into liberal arts education, Christian education will be utterly consumed by the humanists. And that is why Generations is pleased to present Worldviews in Conflict, a high school or college introduction to and critical analysis of the philosophers, the literary masters, and the cultural influencers of the last 300 years. A refreshing improvement of most philosophy and literature courses, this course is filled with relevant biblical truths that address the false worldviews of the great secular humanist works. If you want your children to be part of the next generation of faithful Christian leaders, equip them to critically evaluate the works of Karl Marx, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Steven Spielberg, William Shakespeare, Mark Twain. Get the Worldviews in Conflict Literature and Philosophy course and the free Jean-Jacques Rousseau Study Guide at generations.org.
And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast today, a state of the church in the United States. And here is a story that came from the American Family Association and a few other sources. It was picked up by USA Today as well. Carrie Underwood was leading worship at the Passion 2017 conference at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta last week.
Carrie Underwood?
Carrie Underwood, the country music singer, pro-homosexual country music singer, in hot black leather pants. And now the organizer, Louis Giglio, has been criticized by the AFA and others. And so is this fair? I mean, ask yourself, is Louis Giglio was kicked out of the swearing-in ceremony for President Obama in 2013 because he had some disparaging remarks towards homosexual mirage.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if he's now
he invites Carrie Underwood to open up the Passion 2017 conference in Atlanta last week, and she's been an enthusiastic supporter for homosexual mirage.
Wow.
So,
why the change?
Is that fair? That's my first question. Is that fair? You know, the liberal Democrats are so fastidious and careful on their orthodoxy when it comes to their religious ceremonies.
Uh-huh.
And yet, the evangelical Christians are not so fastidious about their orthodoxy. You see the difference there? There seems to be much more care concerning whether the participants in the religious ceremonies for President Obama have subscribed to the orthodoxy that he requires on this issue of homosexuality. Have they rendered the proper prostrations to the ceremonial rite, the sacramental rite of homosexuality and sodomy? If they haven't offered the proper prostrations, they're not invited to the ceremonies. But over here on the evangelical side of things, they're like, come on down, baby. You're all invited. It seems as if the standards of orthodoxy are a bit more loosey-goosey amongst the evangelicals than it is amongst the liberal Democrats. Are you with me here?
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of some of the churches I've seen. You know, we welcome everyone, and we mean everyone. You know, that
double underline.
Yeah, with the little rainbow flag right by it.
There's no question that Carrie Underwood is one of the leading pro-homosexual voices in the evangelical community these days, along with her evangelical church, Grace Point, down in Nashville, Tennessee. So there's no question about that. For the UK Independent, she said something like, as a married person myself, I don't know what it's like to be told I can't marry somebody I love and want to marry. It's in relation to homosexuals getting married to each other. I can't imagine how that must feel. I definitely think we should all have the right to love. And love publicly the people that we want to love. Now, of course, that's a typical deceptive and wicked equivocation on the word love.
Right.
You see, they should be able to love and love publicly. If they want to love the pig, and they want to love the pig in a public forum, then why not?
Or a 40-year-old man and an 8-year-old boy.
Yeah. See, it's love. It's, of course, the wicked equivocation on the word love, refusing to apply the law of God and the definitions that the law of God gives us in order to render some structure to what love is. And, of course, this is the major problem. It is what Kipling said when he said, oh, remember the modern? He started by loving his neighbor and ended by loving his wife. Now, what's the difference there between loving your neighbor as God intended you to do, and loving your neighbor's wife, as Kipling describes it? Loving your neighbor's wife, I mean, it was a loving relationship. They loved each other. They both loved each other.
Yeah.
They both loved each other.
Yeah.
They looked at each other. They had romantic love for each other. And yes, of course, God says, no, that's off limits. But no. They loved each other. And here, Carrie Underwood says, oh, come on. These people are loving each other. They have the right to love. They have a right to marry the people they love, the people that we want to love. We ought to be able to do that. See, again, this is precisely the autonomy, the rebellion against God that completely identifies the modern Americans in their paganistic religion.
Yeah, welcome to Eros Fellowship.
You got it. That's it.
Yeah.
This is Eros Fellowship. They ought to open the Greek lexicon and point randomly to the word Eros. It would work.
Yeah.
It would work for Grace Point. And it would work for Grace Point. Okay, friends, these are different religions. I know we're talking about different religions today. But inviting Carrie Underwood to the Passion 2017 would be like inviting Herod or Simon the Sorcerer to lead the first Christian worship in Jerusalem. Imagine Peter, come on down, come on down, come on down. Herod, come on down. You funded the temple, that's close enough.
Yeah.
That's close enough. Come on down, participate with the worship today. This will be wonderful. Can you play the bass? And Simon the Sorcerer, Judas. Come on down. Be a part of this. Be a part of this. You know, we're inclusive here. We're being inclusive here. What kind of message does that send to the church? To 50,000 people at the Georgia Dome. And John Piper and Louis Giglio and Francis Chan all there. And, of course, all the online people connected. Evidently, there were others that were connected online. So this probably infected something like 100,000 American evangelicals, mostly of the younger crowd. But, of course, this is the way it works, my friends. This is the way the apostasy works its way. So, see, somehow you've got to cut down the church in America from some attendance of 36% to 12%. Somehow, American Christianity is working its way down to wherever Britain is today. You say, well, Britain and Scotland, they have their issues, but America will never join the apostasy as Britain and Scotland and other nations have done. Are you kidding me? This is what it looks like, my friends. This is what it looks like. Catalyst 2017 is doing something similar, by the way. And we're not talking Passion 2017 now. We're talking Catalyst 2017. This is church leadership conferences around the country, sponsored largely by Andy Stanley.
Yeah.
Another Cross Point, Grace Point, something or other. But again, this is where the modern evangelicals are going. This is how they walk over the line to heterodoxy. This is how they join the Mormons. This is how they join the all the heterodoxic groups that have formed out of the church, splintered out of the church over a period of 2,000 years. This is how it happens, friends. And you know who's invited to the Catalyst 2017 church leadership conferences, which are held in these huge facilities in which tens of thousands show up? As far as I can see, they're impacting the lives of the future pastors of evangelical pastors, the churches around America. Andy Stanley showing up? The hat makers. You know, hat makers.
Yeah.
They've gone pro-homosexual big time just recently. The Southern Baptists have sort of distanced themselves from the hat makers. Brian Houston, Judas Smith, Compassion International, rendering the proper prostrations to the gods of homosexuality, as they have, and as they will continue to do. Young evangelicalism is embracing homosexuality. They have increasingly rejected God's laws over a long period of time. And so now there's no need that Jesus Christ save us from our sin, because we lost the definition of sin. And it's expressed probably most radically, most dramatically, in the embracing of the final sin, the most obvious sin. The sin is taking entire nations down, the sin of homosexuality. A large percentage of evangelicalism now dropping off into a false religion. I guess the question is, will Giglio drop off with them? My guess is that John Piper wasn't aware that Carrie Underwood would come with their pro-homosexual position and perform and lead in her hot black leather pants. Remember David Wilkerson walking out of one of these events in the 1990s, where he saw all that was happening, and he had kind of a spiritual insight. And as he walked out of one of these gigantic concerts with modern evangelicals screeching and screaming and all the rest, the lights, the dry ice and all of this, David Wilkerson, the great evangelical pastor and evangelist of the Jesus movement in the 1960s and 1970s, he walked out screaming, "Ichabod, Ichabod, Ichabod." And I think occasionally you'll have a leader with some spiritual insights who will note that there is something very, very wrong with what is going on. If John Wesley, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Augustine, and others walked into Passion 2017 and saw the Carrie Underwoods in her hot leather black pants gyrating to the music, I think they'd probably note that there's something wrong here.
Yeah, you take a look at Ezekiel and how the spirit, you know, moved and kept moving towards the doorway, and then over the wall and out towards the east. And it's almost as if the Holy Spirit was going, "Does anybody know I'm leaving? Does anybody even recognize this?" And everybody's going, "No, we've got this handled now. We can do this on our own."
At what point do we say that the Jehovah worship is completely syncretized? It's happening in the high places. We're calling it the High Place Community Church now, with Baal, child sacrifice, and temple prostitution all coming together in one little thing. You know, a pastor friend of mine up here in the Denver metro area thinks that there may be temple prostitution in evangelical churches fairly soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He said it under his breath to me, because he couldn't, I mean, it's hard to imagine that that could happen. But he says it's becoming more and more probable in his mind that evangelical churches in America will bring in temple prostitution, because, and here's the reason he gives, is that worship has been reduced to a subjective emotional experience. And he says that's what Baalism was. Baalism and temple prostitution is about the experience.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like sexuality to you know, present something of a self-oriented emotional experience. It's the height of the experience that matters. It's the emotional Dionysius experience, usually somewhat sexual, certainly involving music, and it has an impact upon the individual. It's that individual emotional experience, and churches today are sometimes better at doing it than secular music concerts, and people are picking this up because they go to church for the individualized emotional experience, and Baalism provides this with the temple prostitute. Now, in the modern church, there's very little in terms of covenant renewal. There's not a sense of a covenant relationship with the Jehovah God in the modern worship. Rather, again, it's the isolated emotional experience that happens in the music service that matters. And there's hardly a covenantal relationship with the body of Christ either. Of course, everything's way too transient for that. We just mentioned that. Relationships are way too fragile for anything like that. So there's very little covenantal relationship with the body of Christ. And there's, of course, a loss of God-centeredness. It's a me-centric thing, too.
Yeah, it's, you know, you water down the church, and then you boil off the water, and then you water it down again, and you keep boiling it off, and you're going to eventually get nothing. You're going to have nothing left.
And the final point I think I need to make is that the modern church, not only is there no covenant renewal, there's no covenantal relationship with the body, there's no God-centeredness, but there's also a minimization of the preaching of the Word of God. And that was a point that was made in the previous section as we were talking about names for the church. Truth is of little value. Seen in the 20-minute sermon versus the 40-minute musical experience. And so again, truth is marginalized. Truth is not important to the modern worshiper. And these are the things that constitute the apostasy of the modern church. And so, friends, these are the things to pay attention to. We are to worship God in spirit and in truth. We are to sing with the understanding. We're to pray with the understanding. These are things I bring out in my book, The Tattooed Jesus, which, by the way, is becoming very popular amongst the worshipers and the leaders as well. So what about the tattooed Jesus? What sort of Jesus is this? Is this the real Jesus? Is this another pseudo-Christ that makes up the false religions that are prevalent in our society today? What is the tattooed Jesus, and what would the real Jesus say about pop culture? You can check out my book, The Tattooed Jesus, at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, and we want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.